Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. That sounds about right. I don't even know what day it is. I swear yesterday felt like the Mondayest Tuesday that ever Mondayed. Sean Campbell here at your local alternative Solid State Radio. And my, we have a lot to unpack today. A lot of it obviously still Lions and Michigan and eventually Red Wings related. As the Wings finally got a win over a garbage hockey team, but you know what? I'll take it anyway. Of course, we're going to have to touch on the Lions, and Dan Campbell made some comments this morning that I feel like are very much going to be divisive to this Lions fan base, and I kind of want to get your thoughts, and Adam's if he shows up, on those. We'll do that shortly. And then, of course, there were some comments made by one J.J. McCarthy about Michigan and their scandal that's probably going to see all their wins get stripped from them, even if they do end up winning a natty, which, as I told you yesterday, I think is a very real possibility, and I would say even likely. We'll get to all that coming up. I'm sure the Pistons have something they're doing. Oh, okay, they're playing tonight against the Jazz. That should be... That totally won't be a blowout or anything. Utah favored by 8.5. That's it. All right. And then all of that. We'll cover all of it. Well, probably not the Pistons because who the hell cares at this point. But we'll get to the other stuff in very short order here. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. The Cure at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Hare-Huck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we have to talk about Dan Campbell. There is a discussion that needs to be had here. So, Dan Campbell, he was on Detroit radio this morning or yesterday morning, I don't know, talking about the infamous decision to go for it for the two-point conversion. Not one, not two, but three different times in Saturday's loss to Dallas. That should have been a win that, quite frankly, was a win, but, you know, that's we just can't have nice things in Detroit.
Yep.
So he was asked about that, and absolutely positively would not back down on his decision to go for it.
He's not that kind. We saw him from his opening press conference when he was named Lions head coach. He's tenacious.
So he had said, quote, "I told our offense we were going for the win. We're going to go down. We're going to score. We're going for two, and I wasn't coming off of that."
He said he would have relented had the Lions been pushed outside the 10-yard line, but, quote, "We work inside the 10 every week, good on good, O versus D." Pressed on the matter, Campbell said to the hosts of said show, "You know what? Go ahead and say it, both of you. Say what you want to say."
No.
Oh, boy.
Response, "I think from the 7 to low percentage play, I think your chances of winning are lower than if you kick the extra point."
"No, say it like you'd say it to anybody else. I'm on the radio. Say it like you want to say it."
This mother...
This guy, "I thought it was a reckless decision. Thank you. But does he regret in any way the decision to keep going for two? Ultimately, the answer is no."
Right.
Even the play where he couldn't... where they tried to force it to James Mitchell and didn't connect. Campbell said the play is not designed to go there originally, but was Goff's only option, saying that basically Sam Laporta was supposed to get open on that play and couldn't, so... Mitchell was basically the only option that was left on that.
You realize, God, I just got to pull the trigger here, and it just didn't work out, man.
I don't know why I do Dan Campbell's Hulk Hogan, but, you know, that's just
brother. Hell yeah, brother.
What do you do when we bite your kneecaps? Oh, that's more Macho Man Randy Savage, isn't it?
We're going to bite your kneecap on the way back up, yeah.
Apparently neither one of us are very good at Dan Campbell impressions. But, I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons why he was hired to be the coach of the Lions, because of his tenacity. His willingness to take a chance. Had it worked, we would have had Dan Campbell. He is now mayor. I don't know who the current mayor of Detroit is, but he's out. Campbell in. I don't know who Miss Michigan is this year, but she's out. He's in.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy would not be able to pay for a cup of coffee.
Oh, absolutely not. And still might not if he's able to deliver on, you know, other things for this team. But I guess the question is here, we know what Dan Campbell is at this point. We know that he's a guy that's going to he's gonna make reckless, borderline reckless, and sometimes just play outright reckless decisions.
Right.
He's going to go for it. where no other coach in the league would go for it. So the question is, are you all in or are you all out on Dan Campbell? Like, do you just accept that this is part of the ride? Do you just kind of accept that, yeah, he's going to do criminally stupid things like this sometimes, but it's more often than not going to work out in your favor?
We've seen it work. We've seen it work enough to where he has – I'm all in. In short, I'm all in. But going back, I mean, and I hate beating a dead horse, but had the refs been doing their job properly, and they wouldn't have had to call back that that two-point conversion.
But arguably, you kicked the field goal earlier in the game when you went for it on fourth and four, and you win the game with an extra point anyway.
Or are we still talking about the same play?
No, it's not the same play. Same game.
Same
earlier,
game, yeah.
And I think it was the first quarter, where it's fourth and goal from the four, and he goes for it, doesn't get it. You take the points then none of this matters.
True. Okay. Yeah. Like I said yesterday, I didn't get a chance to see the game itself, but yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah. Get the points while the getting's good, especially in the first quarter. Because you can make a lot of things up as the game progresses on both sides of the field. But I mean, I saw his let's win the game in the fourth quarter, last dying minutes, as opposed to tying it up and then giving Cowboys the ball.
And the thing is, being all in, Dan Campbell doing what he does, you kind of have to expect that at some point he's going to make some, you know, ridiculous decisions, like continuing to go for the 2 points from the seven, from the four, a third time around. Like, it's got to mean that if you're facing the same situation against, say, the Ravens in the Super Bowl, knowing that you have a chance to win it in regulation or tie goes sends it to overtime or extra point sends it to overtime, you got to know that means Dan Campbell is probably doing the same damn thing then when the stakes are highest. And a lot of people don't necessarily – no, he's not going to do that. He's going to be more conservative than that. Like, he's going to send it to OT. I honestly truly believe that same scenario happens in the Super Bowl, and that's the difference between winning the game and sending it to OT. He's going for two every time.
Yep.
I don't know that he'd necessarily do it a second, a third time, but he's definitely at least doing it the first time.
Yeah. Oh, take that to the bank, absolutely. And again, if he pulls it off, he's the GOAT.
And there's something to be said about the way he seems to be changing. Like, this is the cost of changing the culture of this team. Having a coach that absolutely has made it abundantly clear that he trusts everybody on his squad, with the exception of his kicker, that has made it clear that, like, no, I trust in you guys. I brought you guys in to do the job, and I think you can do this. We don't need to play scared, play for overtime, play for the tie, any of that. Like, he's not that guy.
Win the game as soon as possible.
Yeah, and he's very much that. Like, that's how he operates. And for as much as we are often flustered about it and scratching our heads at some of the decisions he makes, I feel like to an extent, and that's why I'm kind of all in on it too, I feel like that's part of what caused, what got his guys to buy in. It's the fact that they do see that he absolutely 110% believes in them to do things that most other teams wouldn't do.
Yep.
I think that absolutely contributes to having his guys buy in the way they have. When I think you have to be all in on it and kind of, unfortunately, embrace the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Dan Campbell approach.
Dan Campbell, I like that. Hopefully you trademarked that.
Nah,
if you have the confidence of your boss, whether it's a professional sports team or whatever, it is going to up your game. If you know you have his confidence, it's going to boost your confidence and you're going to perform better. So, I mean, if he says to his squad, we're going for it for two because I know you can do it, and this is just how we're going to play.
They're going to do it.
They're going to do it.
They're going to run through a brick wall for the man. We've seen that from day one, and honestly, sometimes you question if the man himself has run through a brick wall or two, you can't help but love the positivity of the that is inherent in the aggression he's showing here, other than the fact that it basically means F your kicker forever.
We're looking on the sidelines, and Dan Campbell, he's supposed to be talking to his quarterback, but looks like somebody's jangling keys in the front row, and he's got his attention.
you kind of wonder about these things sometimes, but I feel like, no, you have to be... Like, and that's certainly the reason that I'm all in on it, just because, like, it does feel like he's got that buy-in, and this is a side effect of getting the buy-in.
Yep.
You just kind of have to accept it, roll with it, and hope it doesn't burn you too often. Here's Royal Lotus. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. AJR at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. We got to talk a little bit of Michigan here because... J.J. McCarthy went to the, or was on some sort of press conference thing today, and there are some things that we need to discuss with regard to that, because, I mean, I've already been very opposed to the whole, you know, the whole narrative that is kind of built around Michigan football, and... The narrative of how, oh, everyone's out to get us. We have overcome so much adversity. You know, we've overcome the adversity that we created for ourselves because, you know, we were doing things that were against very much against Big Ten rules.
Yeah.
But adversity, man.
Adversity, yeah. The adversity of us cheating and getting caught.
Exactly.
We shall overcome.
The adversity that is the consequences of our own actions.
Once again, it turns its ugly head our way.
But J.J. McCarthy was asked today about a few things, about particularly the possibility that exists that Michigan might actually have to ultimately vacate their wins if it comes down that they ended up doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing, if the NCAA's investigation does just throw the gauntlet down on them, like, I honestly expect that it will. And I do expect that it will. Like, you're not going to ultimately get away with this, I don't think. Like, the NCAA, like, you flip them the bird enough times that you're not going to be able to get out of this without some sort of sanctions of some sort.
Yeah.
So he was asked today on a teleconference ahead of the national title game that they're playing in on Monday night, how he would feel hypothetically if the Wolverines were to win a national title only for it to get vacated down the line, like the 2005 championship for USC, where I mentioned this at, you know, put a pin in that. I'll talk about it
sure.
in a sec.
All right.
But McCarthy's asked about this, and the quote was, from an outside perspective, it would be very unfortunate just to not get recognized for all the hard work we put in and everything we accomplished over the last year. But at the end of the day, it won't change the amount of accomplishment and amount of pride for being on this football team. We know what we've put in. We know we did things the right way as players. What happens without the outside controversy is outside of our control. Whatever the NCAA wants to do is out of our control. And it gone on to say, Ohio State was supposedly stealing signs from them and so on and so forth. He basically said that all the noise from the outside is hate fuel to drive their, quote, one-track mind. I don't want to say a crazy number, but probably a good number. 80% of teams in college football steal signs. It's a thing about football. It's been about for years. We actually had to adapt because in 2020 or 2019, when Ohio State was stealing our signs, which is legal, and they were doing it a legit way, we had to get up to the level they were at and make it an even playing field. But, okay, you may have had to get up to the level they were at and make it an even playing field, but they were doing it a legit way. You weren't.
Until he started dragging other teams, trying to get them under the same bus, his answers were on point. I mean, yeah, it's outside of our control. We're players. We're just – I mean, for being a young guy like that, that was about the perfect answer. Then he started, they're doing it too.
Yeah, but you knew that was going to happen because that's Michigan's embraced this woe is me mindset so much. I'm not surprised by it.
Yep.
But that being said, would that change anything? Would the vacated title, would that in your mind as a Michigan fan, even would that register with you, or don't care, we want a natty? Go blue.
The latter. Go blue. We want a natty. But man, it'd be really kind of frustrating because we certainly wouldn't be able to talk to a Michigan State fan about it. Yeah, well, we won a natty in 2024, the 23 season. No, you didn't. No, I don't see it on any record books.
And that was honestly kind of my thought on that when they first started talking about the potential of vacating wins. Like, you may as well go all in and win it because they're going to strip it back anyway, but you're going to have won it. So it's kind of the stupidity of what the NCAA does. Like, oh, well, those games never happened. Those wins never happened. That national championship game that we all watched never happened.
Yeah, that's...
So why would you not just, you know what, F it, go for it.
Just go for it. You want it. Going forward, guys, just so all the teams are understand we're all on the same page here, if we see that stuff, we're going to be punishing you right then and there so you don't get to a national championship and let things go that route as opposed to, oh, well, just go ahead and keep doing the games like you would be doing anyway, but we might punish you later on.
Yeah, the way that a lot of that stuff works really is just... It's kind of stupid. Like, there are things you could probably do going forward that would make a lot more sense than necessarily vacating the wins that would have a real effect.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem... I don't know. I mean, obviously, they've done it, but, I mean, it just seems like kind of a piss-poor way of going about it.
Agreed. One more thing on that... The apparent voice of the SEC, Paul Feinbaum, who is notably hates U of M and really anything that's not the SEC, has said the title won't come with an asterisk if Michigan does inevitably win. It won't be tainted by the scandal or anything like that. Do you agree?
Say the question again.
That... This title does not indeed come with an asterisk. It wouldn't be tainted in any way because of the sign-stealing scandal. This is legit. You buying that or no?
It depends on who you ask. Me? Yeah. I mean, it's legit. Ask somebody who's not a Michigan fan. They're going to say, it's not legit. Ask an Ohio State fan what they think.
Well, they're going to say no, of course, sure.
Of course not. But, I mean, I guess maybe talk to a fan of, we should get a poll going. And ask fans of other teams. Like, I know a couple Alabama fans. I can ask them that same question. Then we can regroup maybe on Friday. We can come up with our findings.
I'd be curious to do that. I'll tell you right now, as a State fan, I can't argue it. I can't argue against, the validity of the title at that point. I mean, you went out there and you beat Nick Saban, arguably the best coach in all of college football. And you did, you went out there and did that. You didn't need all the nonsense, all the whatever sign stealing you claim was being done, to get you to this point. Michigan can beat, I think, any team right now in college football, with the exception of Georgia. Georgia's the one where I think that they might have stomped Michigan in the title game. I don't think Texas or Washington were beating you. And I told you on Friday's show that Bama wasn't going to beat you. Like, you are that good. It sucks, quite frankly, that your coaching staff had such hubris, really, that they felt that, A, they needed to do this to get that edge, and B, thought that they were going to get away with it and that nothing was going to come of it, and then played the victim when called out on it. It sucks, but there's no arguing that... Quite frankly, your team is arguably the best team in the nation, and I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of dispute about that other than from maybe some salty Ohio State and probably even a few State fans.
Yep.
Like, that's how I think that shakes out ultimately. As much as I hate your school, I do absolutely think that there is no asterisk to be had on this thing.
I mean, technically, my school was the Mott Community College Bears, and I didn't see the Bears in any kind of championship, so we're good. Point taken.
Yeah, there is that.
Specsauer didn't have a football school.
So I want to circle back. We'll do it next. I did kind of want to circle back to something I kind of talked about earlier with regards to that we started on about USC and them leaving and their bowl being vacated and all that, and how this whole thing could play out similarly for one Jim Harbaugh. We'll do it next on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Here's the Gaslight Anthem. Bad Omens at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. And I kind of wanted to circle back around to something I had you put a pin in the last segment.
Sure.
About how USC, they ultimately did have a title vacated. They had wins vacated. I think they had Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy stripped from him and all this other stuff. While basically the coach of that team, Pete Carroll, just kind of snuck off in the offseason and took the gig with Seattle, and nothing ever really came of that for him. He didn't really suffer any real-world consequences. Yeah. He walked right into an NFL gig and ultimately ended up winning a Super Bowl with Seattle. I kind of suspect that if what has been rumored to happen does ultimately happen, that wins are stripped and things are vacated and whatnot, I do think this time around, Jim Harbaugh actually is going to be off to the NFL. There's been rumors again, and he hasn't shot him down.
No, probably not. I mean, if he wins a natty, that'll be it. I've accomplished this. Where do I go from here? The NCAA has been barking up my keister. Let's go on to some bigger and brighter things.
I do tend to think that that's how it's going to happen. Because, I mean, you already have a guy on staff. Like, Sharon Moore could, and did during this season, take over this team and run a pretty smart game plan all the way around. Like, his actual game management up there, he's becoming a rising star in the college coaching ranks. And I do think that he is going to parlay this, if not into a head coaching gig here, then somewhere else. And honestly, you're probably smart to lock him in here as your head coach, as opposed to having him go and be someone else's new shiny head coach.
Right.
Like, you've got the guy here. You might as well lock him in. Harbaugh's been flirting with the NFL for years. You now have a guy that can step into the role and do every bit as good as what Harbaugh has done.
Yep.
And I do kind of think Harbaugh actually is bound for the NFL this year. And I'll tell you, I think there's a good chance it ends up being with the last team he played quarterback for.
Oh, don't tell me. I only remember him being quarterback for Michigan, so I guess I'm out.
The Michigan Wolverines. Nope. The San Diego. Well, I guess now the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh.
That was the last team that he was a head coach
he
for.
He would be the type to go the glitz and glamour of Los Angeles.
Not head coach. That was the last team he was a football. He played quarterback for.
Right, right.
And honestly, I think it's a good fit. Like, Justin Herbert's, you know, an above-average NFL QB. I think Harbaugh could certainly help him build on his game.
Yep.
You've already got some solid pieces around him. The problem was always, in large part, the coaching and the defense. And Brandon Staley, I mean, I called him getting fired, like, at the beginning of this season, pretty much. He was on the hot seat going in, and just every successive week ultimately added to the case that he didn't need to be coaching in the NFL anymore. And now that he's out, they've got a vacancy to fill. I think he could be the guy. Looking around at some of the other coaching vacancies that currently exist or are most likely going to exist, I mean, there's rumors that that Matt Eberflus is done in Chicago at the end of the season, and or Justin Fields, maybe both. But I don't
just
think,
keep Justin Fields until they play the Lions because bring him off for that because he looked fantastic.
But it's not a situation that makes sense for him. Like, they're still in the very early stages of a rebuild. I'm not sure they've entirely acknowledged that they, in fact, need to rebuild. Stay far away from that gig. Carolina. I mean, you have a rather micromanaging owner in David Tepper. You sacked Frank Reich, who's like, what, the fifth coach in the last 5 years you've gotten rid of because they couldn't win with the nothing that the front office has given them to work with. You sold everything off. You sold off Christian McCaffrey. You sold off everybody else. Why aren't you winning games? You're fired. Like, that's not a guy I want to work for. A guy who's so just insanely micromanaging and not willing to let the guys he hired do the jobs they were hired to do, certainly the coaches, and give them no slack when he gives them no groceries and they can't come up with a five-course meal. The Raiders, of course, that position is open, but if Mark Davis is smart, he's just going to promote Antonio Pierce to full-time permanent head coach. Like, don't make the same mistake you made with Rich Bisaccia a couple seasons ago when you end up sacking him after he finished the season with a winning record when John Gruden got sacked, only to bring in Josh McDaniels anyway. Don't let the same mistake happen twice here. This guy is going to be a head coaching stud at some point for someone else if you let him walk away. So, no, I don't think that's going to be a position that's open for Harbaugh. New England, I don't know if I'd do it. That's, again, a team that has been in need of a rebuild, that hasn't acknowledged as such, that once Belichick finally goes, it's going to really be time to tear that thing down to the studs. As far as there's rumors that Buffalo could fire Sean McDermott if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, you've changed a lot of stuff in Buffalo in the last year or so. You sacked your defensive coordinator. You just fired your OC like a couple of weeks ago, and you still might miss out on the playoffs. And this is a team that's built to win now. It would actually be, I think, the perfect situation for Harbaugh if the vacancy opens up, if they do fire Sean McDermott. That could be a really good spot for him to land. Like, you've got a team that's got, you've got your franchise QB. You've got some absolute studs, weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Like, this seems like a position for you to thrive, but it's all predicated on them not making the playoffs and deciding that McDermott is no longer the guy for them going forward. I mean, that all, for me, jumps to, like, the number one vacancy if it opens up. But other than that, for me, it's got to be San Diego. You've got the weapons. You've got the QB. You've got a complete clean slate. Now they fired the GM and the head coach. Like, you absolutely could have the potential to mold that thing to your advantage.
It checks all the boxes. It would be a good fit for Harbaugh.
Like, if I'm Harbaugh right now and I'm looking at that gig, if they offer him that job,
I'm saying Chargers or Saints. I think both would fit.
The Saints could be good too. Yeah,
the Saints would be good. I think that both would be a good fit. I seriously don't think he'd want to go to Buffalo. And maybe I'm just being superficial here, but those winters get cold out there. And I know it just seems like the Buffalo Bills, maybe I'm just taking a slice of this season, but it seems like the Buffalo Bills are on the down low. They're
on the decline?
Decline, that's the word I'm looking for, yeah.
I mean, you can make that argument, but I feel like it's less the players, for the most part, and more just the coaching. The coaching decisions just are not getting it done. Like, things have completely unraveled. It's not, I mean, you have the same players that have done pretty well for you for the last couple of years. Like, the coaching is really just kind of suspect at this point. Like, I think you might be losing this team. And with that, if you lose the playoffs, I think, or if you miss the playoffs, I think McDermott could be on the unemployment line.
Yep.
That's just kind of where.
Stop talking about my Harbaugh.
Okay, it's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Here's David Kushner and Daylight. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I reckon we've made you suffer enough with, and by you, I mean Adam. We've made Adam suffer enough with football talk. So I guess, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey?
Question mark? Hey, hockey town! Hey, my. That came out like gangbusters, didn't it?
They won last night.
They did. 5-3 is your final against the Sharks in San Jose. I was watching some of the highlights, and I'm starting to see what they're talking about with Andrew Kopp.
Yeah.
Very sloppy with the puck. Sloppy at his own end.
Basically, yeah, scored an own goal last night.
Yep. I mean
that
was more about Alex Lyon, but yeah.
Yeah, it looked like I thought, like, looking at the overhead shot on that, okay, he's got that. He's got the pads on it. This is over. And then it squirts out into the net. Like, yeah. But Kopp did not help that situation, I don't think.
Yeah, they might have to start. I don't know where he's still under contract for the next season, but we may have to relook at that. JT Compher in the second period, his ninth in the season. David Perron with a pair in the third, his eighth on the power play. His ninth coming out at 18:30 of the third period. Lucas Raymond with the assist. Michael Rasmussen with an empty netter for his eighth of the season, but opening up the whole scoring, Daniel Sprong on the power play, his 10th of the season.
What a nice acquisition that has been, no?
That has been nice. I mean, here's a guy who's kind of been, I'm not going to say rotting away, but he's been on the third line, fourth line, and he's progressing. He's doing well.
Those are the guys you need to contribute, though. Like, it can't all just be, like, you can't be all top-loaded all the time. I mean, ask Edmonton and Toronto how that's working out.
Well, yeah, because if you're their opposition, you're like, okay, we just got to
shut these guys down.
Yeah, it's a team that can roll four lines that win Stanley Cups. And I'm not saying that the Wings can roll four lines, but their fourth line is sure making an argument.
They certainly are. And it's rather nice to see that you've got that much scoring power on those other lines, like that you've gotten the contributions you have from guys like Daniel Sprong. It's rather just nice to see. Like, it takes a little bit of the pressure off when, you know, the Larkins and DeBrinkets of the world are having an off night.
Off night, or their defense has their number and is keeping them off the puck. Not to say that, you know, San Jose Sharks are exactly a very defensive-minded team, but in the cases like against Boston where, you know, they'll make you pay for bad decisions, that's when you want the Joe Valenos, the Daniel Sprongs, and JT Confers to step up.
That's when you absolutely need those guys to step up. And you've, by and large, gotten that from these guys this season. Now, let's see if we can work on some defense, guys.
Yeah, defense from the blue liners and the forwards. I mean, the forwards are not being given a pass on this. You got to play good in your own end as well.
Yeah, can't give away the puck. Too many just turnovers. Always with this team.
Yep. Jacob Austin-Reese was supposed to be in the...
Zach Austin-Reese.
Zach Alexander Sprong. Alexander Kit Kat.
Owe him a couple apologies now.
Not in the lineup, though. I don't know if they just had him for emergencies or what, but yeah. I want to see more from him. Because he brings grit in. That's the only reason I want to bring him in. But I mean,
I feel like that's the reason he's here.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine right now they're worried about keeping the guys who can actually put the puck in the net in the lineup. Like, he's going to be on the bench probably for a lot of his time up here. I would imagine he's going to be the healthy scratch most nights.
Yeah, that's probably true. Alex Lyon, 24 saves. 889 save percentage. He ends the night not the best.
No, not great. No. He had a few pretty key screw-ups, unfortunately.
He looks like he loses track of the puck for the rebounds, and that's gonna burn you.
You've noticed that, too. Like, that's been a huge problem that I've noticed.
All three goalies, for a team that has three goaltenders, we have a lot of them just seem like they lose track of the puck, and some of them look like they're just scared of the puck.
Well, what's saying if you have three goaltenders, you don't have a goaltender?
Yeah, if you have to rely on, well, the other two are injured, so I guess that's a non-issue. But yeah, I mean, they have to really Steve Yzerman and company have to really get that under magnifying glass for next season. Not to say this season's over, but if the playoffs were started right now and the Wings were for some reason by God's good graces in a wild card spot, I'd be nervous. I'd be really, really nervous.
No, I would too. Like, I don't know if you're winning a game right now.
I think
right
it'd probably
now.
Be a sweep.
You hate to say
be
it,
honest, but yeah.
I kind of agree with you, though. Like, yeah. that's kind of exactly how I kind of see with the goaltending and the defense being the way they are. But, I mean, let's be honest. With the goaltending, you're buying time until the Sebastian Costos show is ready to start.
Exactly.
That's what all that is. Now, defense, I can't help you there. Like, there's not a whole lot seemingly waiting in the pipeline. You're going to have to address that some other way.
Yep. Now, switching gears a little bit, I've been seeing a lot of rumors, and it's all on, like, the slappy Facebook pages, but they're all in lockstep in the idea that Patrick Kane could be traded before the deadline. Are you buying or selling?
I'm selling that. I know it has been reported and rumored and everything else that, oh, he's not, if they're not in contention by the trade deadline, they're going to sell. But I don't see that panning out that way.
Unless Kane goes to Stevie and says, you know, this, I'm probably going to sign with somebody else at the end of the season. You might want to trade me. Get something back for me and go that route. Because, I mean, 1 year, $2 million, or two and some change, he's not going to do that again. You're going to re-sign him, you're going to pay him, and he would have earned it, but is this team really ready for something like that? I don't think he's going to want to stick around, to be honest with you. I think he's enjoying his time right now. He's happy to have a job, but
Well, I think he knows that he's coming into a team that is in the late stages of a rebuild. Right. He knew that going in.
Correct.
And obviously, the whole DeBrincat thing helps a lot, and Kane's playing some of his best hockey right now.
He really is. There's a lot of people who have had that same operation on their hip going, what doctor, I can't remember what the cat's name, but played for Washington. He put a tweet on there. What was Kane? Who was Kane's doctor? I want that doctor.
Right. I mean, he's come. He's been a point of game since he came back.
Yep.
Like you're not going to complain about that from a guy who underwent the surgery that he underwent that most guys don't come back all that well from.
Nicholas Backstrom.
Backstrom's been the only one. I mean, Jovanovski came back for a little bit, but was not the same player he was when he went in.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Backstrom, honestly, I mean, he hasn't been. You can make the argument that he hasn't been quite the same player necessarily either, yeah, but he's still been good.
No. Yeah.
Now, that said, I think you could sign him to an extension. I do think that's a real possibility. If Stevie can convince Kane that this team is close to ready and that they're going to make the necessary investments in the offseason, I think you are very likely to be able to get him to agree to something.
So you would say before the trade deadline, you'd actually see him extended before traded.
I don't know if he necessarily gets extended before the trade deadline, but I do think that he does ultimately get extended.
I would love to see it. I hope you're right.
I think you're trading him. I mean, you could theoretically do so, but like, I don't think you're going to be far enough out of playoff contention for Stevie to just blow the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And I don't, he doesn't strike me as being the guy that's going to just, you know, make moves to blow the team up at the deadline.
Right.
Unless we have some like Ottawa level embarrassments, which, you know, I don't think is going to happen.
No, unless it's against Ottawa.
I'm hoping this game coming up at the end of January against them isn't one of those, because we're going to be at that game.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a good time. Also, I hate to bring this up, but...
No, you don't.
They're still talking. There's some serious talks where they're actually getting some rumblings from the NHL head office about a 33rd NHL team coming into the league.
And let me guess, it's going to be in Atlanta.
I mean, yep. The Atlanta Thrashers may be making a return to the NHL, and it's starting to get a little bit... I mean, there's no fire yet, but you're just seeing a lot of smoke.
Good Lord, put a team in Houston before you put a team in Atlanta.
Put a team in Kansas City and Quebec before you put it in Atlanta. A failed...
Now two-time failed market already.
Two-time failed
let's
market.
Let's make it... Let's go for three. Third time's the charm, right?
Yeah. Well, Houston and Quebec's like, fine. All right. We'll see that team in a couple seasons when you decide to move them again. Just like you did with the Flames. Just like you did with the Thrashers moving over to Winnipeg.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Can't we move the Coyotes first before we start talking about expansion?
That would make so much more sense. Okay. All right, Atlanta. Here you go. You've got yourself a team. You are now the Atlanta Coyotes. And they're like, whoa, that's not what we wanted. Well, that's what you're getting.
Well, yeah, but what's the point now? Austin Matthews isn't going to sign with us if we're in Atlanta.
Austin Matthews is off in the background. Well, I wasn't going to sign with you anyway.
But I know, but some people are just still so convinced that that's going to happen.
But you're from Phoenix.
So that means you have to want to play for the most garbage embarrassment of an organization in the entire sport.
No, I don't.
No.
We lost phone communication. He must have been driving through a tunnel.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah, Atlanta coming back into the league. I don't see it. I think the team's too big. The league is too big as it is. 32 teams? The NFL can get away with it. NHL? Not so much.
I don't think any of them need more than 32 teams, realistically. I mean, the schedule alignment is about perfect the way it is. Like, you don't need to dilute the talent pool further. You've got most of the major media markets covered and could if you just get off your asses and move the team out of the city that doesn't clearly effing want it.
Yep.
But I don't see that making a 33rd, 34th team is really going to improve the quality of the product, Danny. No. I mean, it's the only thing they can possibly be looking at here is the expansion fee. Because, I mean, you know, it was what? Vegas paid $700 million.
Was it that much? No.
It was something like that. Maybe that's what Seattle's was.
$700 million for an expansion. Wow.
Like, it was north of $500 million. I know that.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that much just to expand. And then the cost. Woof. I guess, well, I guess that's why you...
It was $500 million for Vegas, $650 mil for Seattle.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, that's probably why the NHL is like, yeah, you expand anywhere you want. Anchorage, how you doing up there?
Right. We'll put an NHL team in Lapeer. We don't care.
Wisconsin. Still no? Okay.
I am kind of surprised after all this time we haven't got an NHL franchise in Wisconsin. But
you got a team in Milwaukee in the AHL that does very, very well. And that's it. Wisconsin has not even sniffed around that they want an NHL franchise. They're like, oh, we're good.
And I mean, I feel like they would like an NHL franchise, but like the NHL is like, oh, sorry, can't hear you driving through a tunnel.
Oh, it'd be, look how they treat the Packers. I mean, they are loyal to the Packers. They would sustain a hockey team, absolutely.
Well, that team has also been there since like the 1920s, and yeah, like, had a lot of time to, like this is when they were still putting teams in smaller cities. Like, the Lions were, like, Portsmouth, Ohio before they moved here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is the era where, like, smaller markets could actually, like, hold a team and before the business blew up the way it did.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm amazed Green Bay still can, but, I mean, you've got the Milwaukee market, so I guess it makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, the Brewers do. I mean, how do the Brewers do for?
Brewers do fairly well. I mean, the Bucks do well now that they're like perennially a playoff contender.
Right. So I mean, why Milwaukee wouldn't want to? Or maybe they haven't. Just haven't made enough as much noise as say Quebec and Houston. But
Quebec and Hartford never shut up about it. They're also never getting teams again.
No, Hartford. Quebec would deserve one. I mean, if nothing else, just to round out the number of teams in Canada, round that out to 8.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily need a big round number just for Canada, because it's not like we have a Canadian division outside of COVID times. Besides, like there's a whole host of downsides there. I mean, the media market is tiny as hell. Like, would it sell out every night? Sure. Are you getting the corporate buy-in in Quebec City? Probably not. And then there's a whole barrier of, like, you literally have to, like, it's already hard enough in Montreal where, like, they're the only city in the entire league where more than half the population doesn't speak the language that the rest of the league. And they refuse to.
A lot of them know how to, but they refuse to.
And Quebec City, they're even more militant about it. Like, Montreal may be bad, but Quebec's even worse. Like, they do know it and will refuse. Like, they will just get on you about it. Like,
yep.
Like, it's got so many disadvantages of market. I don't think it will ever happen. You could argue it should. You can argue that they deserve a team, but you're not going to see it happen again in my lifetime anyway.
Not if the money doesn't line up. And Atlanta, that is a big TV market.
It's I think the only top 10. Well, no, Houston's the only top 10 market that.
But the Texas area still has Dallas Stars.
Yeah, but Dallas and Houston that's not necessarily like. Houston sports fans aren't rooting for Dallas teams and vice versa. That's not how any of this works.
More of a rivalry.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, Houston is, sixth largest media market in the country, and Atlanta, I believe, would be, like, 8th. It would make sense. I mean, I get why they're thinking Atlanta, but how many times do you have to try the same thing before we call it the insanity that it is?
Yep.
Anyway, here's the temper trap of your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Nirvana, your local alternative is Solid State Radio, streaming the world at solidstateradio.net, the Solid State Radio app, and the Solid State Radio skill for your Alexa or other wiretap device. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. How do you feel about ruining some lives today, Adam?
Let's do it.
Or judging people, at least.
Oh, I have no problem being a judge.
No,
jury or... execution? No, I can't say that.
No, you probably don't want to be executed. Well,
no.
Like, you as an executioner.
Excruciating.
You'd be like the stormtrooper of executioners. Who the hell are we getting?
Right.
But I've got a couple Am I the A-holes. We haven't done this bit in a while, and quite frankly, I'm not sure if open discussion still exists, so we're going to go ahead and steal the bit anyway, because, you know, I like to judge people, and it's, sure, you know, it's our favorite pastime, really, on this radio show. So let's do a couple of these, shall we?
We shall.
Am I the a-hole for telling my husband I don't want him to take a nap on Christmas Day? My husband and I have been married for more than 15 years. We're independent people, but we enjoy spending time together, too. He's a night owl, and I'm a light sleeper. I can't sleep in no matter what I do, and I never nap. I'm not good at it anyway, and I consider it lost time of the day and time lost with our daughters and time that could have been spent well doing chores, playing, exercising, etc. My husband loves to nap. He'll do it almost every day. Besides, he sleeps in every morning on weekends and days off. I don't mind that much because I would like to do it also if only I could. We used to take turns when I was still able to sleep in. However, that's on top of the napping. Even if I tell him, please go to bed earlier, please don't nap, especially when the girls are around, he just doesn't care. He'll nap anyway. He never gives in to my requests. Today's Christmas Day. We had a party yesterday and went to bed very late. I was exhausted. However, that was about his usual bedtime. We managed to wake up at 9 a.m., which is awesome for me. We watched our daughters open up their presents and ate breakfast, and I asked everyone if they'd like to watch a Christmas movie. The girls declined, preferring to play with their toys. Then my husband immediately went to bed. At like 11 a.m. on Christmas Day, I'm beyond appalled. I can't even believe this. We could have played with the girls, watched a different movie, or even anything he'd enjoy, clean up the Christmas mess, anything at all. But no, he went back to bed. Okay, am I the a-hole for critiquing him, being mad at him on Christmas Day, and for trying to control when he sleeps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Absolutely you are.
I mean, it kind of sounds like you want him to be on your schedule. I don't know what he does for a living. Maybe he really... There's some people that use their days off to recharge. And, you know, Christmas is a very taxing time on people. I mean, she's talking about wanting to get housework done and exercising done on Christmas. Obviously, she's probably talking about day to day. You want him to be like you, and he's just not. Let him get a couple hours sleep. Come up with a compromise. Oh, you want to go to bed at 11? I'll wake you up at 1, 1:30, and then we'll watch a Christmas movie or do something like that. We'll play with the kids.
Well, it seemed like the kids wanted to be left alone anyway. Like, no, we're just going to play our toys. Like, you're like, I want to watch a Christmas. Well, you can watch a Christmas movie without him. Like, honestly, I fall asleep watching movies anyway.
Right. How upset would she be if, you know, they sit down and watch Elf for the millionth time and he falls asleep?
Right? Like, this is a level of controlling that I can't. Like, you're literally trying to control when this man sleeps.
Yep.
That's insanity to me. And looking like she ended up responding to a bunch of the comments, like, he doesn't have a sleep disorder. He sleeps like 5 hours a night. Of course it's not enough. If he did have a sleep disorder, he should have gone to the doctor years ago. Like, okay, so he doesn't have a sleep disorder, but he's only sleeping 5 hours a night. You wonder why he's napping all the time.
Something tells me that she's the reason he's up.
Probably. I'm sure that doesn't help. Oh, she claims she goes to bed 2 to 3 hours before he does, which, I mean, honestly, most nights is kind of how it goes with us because, like, if I go right to sleep, I snore like crazy and, you know, if she's already asleep, it doesn't matter.
But well, maybe she tosses and turns and elbows him and, you know, to a point where he doesn't get as good of sleep.
Like, I just don't get for the life of me, like, the kind of person who, like, how dare you go and nap when you're only sleeping 5 hours a night? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, what kind of garbage human are you that, like, I mean, it doesn't sound like the kids are necessarily getting neglected in any way, like, from near as I can read into this, and things are getting done around the house.
He's probably telling the daughters, yeah, I'm going to duck out for a couple of hours. They're like, I get you, big guy. We'll hold her off as much as we can, but we're going to play with our toys and let her watch Miracle on 34th Street for the 1 millionth time.
Right. That I don't understand. That's where I'm really kind of...
Hey, kids, can you run a diversion for me? I got to get some sleep. Your mom had me up at 7 in the morning looking at Etsy things.
Right. Like, how dare you not be sitting there watching her scrolling through wherever and on her phone and stuff. How dare you do such a thing?
Because she doesn't, I mean, obviously it's just a letter. We're not going to get the entire synopsis of their life, but I'd be willing to bet you that she's unemployed. She doesn't have a job, so she talks about using her time to do chores and work out and all this stuff while he goes out and makes a living.
I mean, no, it does sound like she works as well, from what I'm gathering, I think, like, because it says, like, oh, and I now have to get up, you know, earlier the day than he does or whatever. I'm assuming that's for work. I mean, maybe it's a kid's thing. I don't know.
With the kids getting breakfast. And I mean, anybody who is out there who is a, I'm not going to say housewife, because I mean, there's men out there that do it too. I mean, running a house is a lot of work. It really is. But I mean, you also have to understand that if he's only getting 5 hours of sleep is not enough. Do you want him being grouchy when they're opening presents? Do you want him to, you know,
want him to fall asleep on his way to work behind the wheel? Like, is that what we want here? Like,
is that what it is? You want to be the tortured widow? Is it, oh, I wonder why he fell asleep. You know, he gave him like 4.5 hours of sleep a day, but you know, hey, maybe he should have taken a nap.
Right. Also, the funny thing about this is, like, the same person apparently posted a, had asked another Am I the A-hole about declining an invitation to her nephew's, like, second birthday party because she has social anxiety. So, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of things opening up here, and you just kind of, like, just seem like a load to be around.
Oh, yeah, she sounds like a real pain in the, you know what.
Like, we can't go because, like, social anxiety. Like, can we do anything other than, like, actually associate with you people?
A second birthday party. I have a really deep-seated fear of piñatas. And I just can't. I'm afraid that a clown's going to be there. I guess that's a warranted fear, but, you know.
Like, this person apparently just, like, and even admits to being a hermit and an introvert. Like, so, like, basically you're expecting your husband to be the only person you ever associate with. Like, you demand, like, literally all of his time is what I'm gathering from this.
Sounds like it.
So.
Get therapy.
Yes, you're an a-hole. Yes, he should leave you. Moving on.
Wow, you went a little extra on that one.
Well, yeah, you know, but she deserves it. It's just kind of what it is. I, even when we're not doing unsolicited advice, I still feel the need to just, you know, end relationships and ruin lives.
You got two girls with a broken home because of some jack wagon in a radio show in Michigan.
Well, you know what? They're probably better off. Let's do one more, shall we?
Yeah.
Am I the a-hole for taking in my ex's dogs, but not my homeless ex? I just want to get off of the title alone.
Listen, your ex can go get another job and make another plan for themselves. The dogs, not so much. You broke up with the ex for a reason, not to spend more time together.
Well, you know what? You didn't fall into my trap. Congratulations. Because you're gonna see in the first couple sentences why you absolutely were on the right track. My wife left me and our kids a couple years ago. She wanted a different life than what we had. She bought a converted van and tried to become a van life influencer. She got some followers.
Here we go.
But not as many as it takes to be able to live off it, I guess. She's in the city right now and her van needs repairs. We're in the middle of a heat wave and she needs a place to stay for a week or two. This is only the second time in 2 years she's bothered to see our kids. I have done my best to make sure they know that even though their mom is gone, it's not because she doesn't love them. I said she was working far away. You're a better dude than I would be. Even after the divorce, I made sure she could have all the visitation she wanted. She doesn't want to stay with her parents because they're very critical of her choice to leave. You don't say. She doesn't want to stay at a hotel because it will be a dent in her budget. I don't want her in my house because I don't want the kids to freak out when she leaves again. It's best if they see her in a neutral location.
Yeah.
I volunteered to take her dog so she could stay at a hostel. She said I was an a-hole for not letting her stay in a house she helped pay for. I bought out her equity when we divorced. It wasn't very much.
Right.
My parents said I should have let her stay. The woman I'm seeing said she would have understood if I let her stay. I just know what it would do to my kids.
Well, originally I was like, you know, it's the kid's mom. But then he brings up a good point. What happens when she leaves again? And he's with another woman, so it's not like, or, no.
It is another woman.
It's another woman, but I'm just thinking, maybe he's got the ex, he's got the woman.
No. No threesomes today, Hirohawk.
So, and that wouldn't be good for the kids to walk in on either.
Exactly.
So, why is mommy chained up to new mommy?
Wow.
What did new mommy do that you're spanking her? So, I mean, this woman has made her bed and she needs to sleep in it, even though that her bed is in a fix-it yard auto shop somewhere.
Yeah, she literally, and this is amazing to me, like this would be only the second time in 2 years that she actually saw her kids, and it's only because, oh, well, my van's broke down. It's not because I'm in town and want to see them. I need some place to stay, because much like that's the typical influencer mindset. Well, just let me stay here, and I'll, you know, it'll be good exposure for you or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why
we want to be exposed. We want to live our lives.
This is why I always say influencers are the literal worst people on earth. The kind of people that feel like that just by their daily existence deserve to be like famous for it and deserve to make money just by existing. Like the entitled mindset of these people is just the absolute worst. And like the worst ones yet. Like I'm not sure between the mommy vloggers who basically make their kids their content,
yes,
as content mills, or people like this who abandon their families to go try and be a famous influencer or whatever. Like, I'm not sure which ones are worse.
They're equal.
The moral of the story
they're
is
equal.
Influencers are garbage human beings.
The ones who...
All of them.
I think it's the ones who seek out to be an influencer. The ones who want you to call them influencers. A true influencer doesn't need to like put it on their business card. People will tell you. It's kind of like being cool, quote unquote. You don't tell people you're cool. You act cool.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
They tell you.
The fact that she hasn't seen her kids very much, and she knows exactly what she's doing. She's screwing up her life. She's screwing up her kids' life. She tried to screw up her husband's life, and he was like, nope, done. I've got Papa got a brand new bag. and she has got to, hopefully this is the wake-up call that she needs to turn it around.
Well, one would hope, but, you know, at this point, you've basically thrown out your entire family. Like, you left your husband to go be a social media van princess or whatever. You abandoned your children. You clearly don't have any interest in said children if you've only seen them once in 2 years. Like,
yeah, what happened? The van doesn't have a couple beds in it? Only one?
But, I mean, she hasn't, like, the van can go effing anywhere. You can go and see your kids anywhere at any time. You know, you come back to the city in which your kids live to see them. Like, there's no reason.
Mommy's van smells like onions.
Well, I can't imagine, you know, what the van life involves much bathing life. So, you know.
Smells like two rotten dogs. Oh, wait a minute. Now our house smells like two rotten dogs.
Right.
Great. But, yeah, he takes in the dogs. I guess, you know, he's helping her. He is helping her and you know. He feels sorry for these animals, as we all do.
Yeah, the dogs didn't do anything to deserve this lifestyle.
Yep. So, I think, is he the a-hole? I would say my vote is no.
Absolutely not. Your wife's an a-hole. I mean,
I think the kids are an a-hole for chasing the mom away to where she'd rather live in a van down by the river.
Right.
Let's just put
also,
the kids on blast.
That's great, too. Like, a van life influencer. You know, we used to just call them homeless people.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, we used to make fun of Chris Farley's character for that.
Right, that was supposed to be a joke, not a lifestyle choice.
And she's like, as Chris Farley's throwing himself through a coffee table, she's stroking her chin going, huh.
I mean, not like homelessness is something you joke about or make fun of, but this person actively is choosing to live in a van because they think it'll make them social media famous, and that absolutely deserves to be mocked and laughed at.
Yes.
At every opportunity.
100%. Ha ha ha, we're laughing at you.
Indeed. There's our dose of judgment for the day.
Now go get your home and oil change.
It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around. A full hour of local original music comes up next on a little radio show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.